right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight?
Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Howdy,
sir.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm all right. How are you?
Swell.
I don't think you're telling the truth.
But I am.
Well, I am telling you that this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 205, Exploring the GVM Element.
And explore we shall.
Yes. The GVM, of course, the geek voicemail, which you can access over at
425-920-6050.
This is our voicemail line where you can call us. And you can comment on some things that we've been discussing. You can ask a question.
Great way to participate in our contests.
It is a great way. Sometimes we open it up for those events as well. But you know, let's explore it a little later in the first segment.
Right.
But before that, of course, we want to tell you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Ooh, slurring my way through it.
What are you? You drunk?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com. There, I got it out.
Good for you.
And see everything that we're doing over there. All the episodes available for you to peruse and download. A photo gallery accompanies each episode. And the photos, of course, are of related imagery to the things we're talking about here on the show.
This is correct.
You can check out our Live from Studio V segments.
Yeah.
Recently, we celebrated our 200th anniversary.
We did indeed, a Rooney.
With a live party, which there are a bunch of segments of over there.
Right.
You can check those out. More to come, says Production Tim.
Yeah, I think there's still one segment that hasn't quite made it up online yet.
It's actually the Live from Studio V.
Right. The actual live from Studio V.
The live from Studio V. That we did, and it was because Big Rat made a special appearance and was a bit inebriated.
That happens.
So there was some editing, some bleeping needed to occur.
Well, that happens, you know. Some,
yeah, these
a rat.
Things. Yeah. So, Big Rat joined us for that. That will be up very soon. We're very much looking forward to it. It looks very fun.
Correct.
Lots of things happening over on the website. You can see all about where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing at New York Comic Con.
That is correct.
October 7, 8, and 9 at the Jacob Javits Center in Manhattan, New York.
Yeah.
And we have a booth there. What booth is that this week?
This week, it is 428.
I think it's going to remain 428.
It's been through several changes.
Yes.
At least three.
Uh-huh.
But it's settled now.
Right.
In a comfy spot. 428.
And we've mentioned some of the guests that will be joining us in the past.
We have Peter and Bobby Timoney from Night Owls and Zuda. Jamie Hatton from In His Likeness. Newly confirmed for this week, Pete Abrams.
Yes, the creator of Sluggy Freelance going to be joining us.
From the world of toys, we have Drill One joining us. Sket One. Argonaut Resins. Eric Sket from One? Argonaut Resins. Yeah.
Sket One joining us?
Yeah.
Want to make a bet?
No.
Just saying.
All right.
That's great. Yeah, a lot of that stuff happening. Still tentatively scheduled to join us. Of course, the four horsemen.
The four horsemen
are going to be joining us for some Lucky Charms. they're still tentatively scheduled to join us. Keep checking back to the website where OG will post the signing schedule.
And actually, I'm going to be creating this week, now that the booth has settled,
yes,
a Facebook event.
Right.
And I'll be updating all of our friends and fans through the Facebook event on the site, which means that if you're not a fan of us over on Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, become a fan.
There you go.
Putting it out there.
And my understanding is we have an exclusive.
Well, we don't know yet. We're working on it.
Now, how do we not know yet? How is it that we don't know yet? Eric from Argonaut Resins.
We believe that he has something he's working on for us that will be exclusive for New York Comic Con. We believe that.
Eric from Argonaut
Resins.
He's
a lovely man. I'm not putting any additional pressure on him. Listen to me. He does have some awesome stuff he's bringing for us, though.
Eric from Argonaut Resins. Are you listening to me right now, Eric?
You're terrible.
Pick up your telephone and dial 425-920-6050 and leave a message at the GVM and tell us what this exclusive will be. I want to know what our exclusive is. I want everyone to know what it is. I want to know the edition size. I want pictures. I want to know, because the designer toy people will flock to our booth.
We hope.
Because Argonaut, let me tell you, if you've never seen any of Eric from Argonaut Resin stuff, beautiful stuff.
The tuts are awesome, man. I really love them.
Awesome. And so whatever it is, that whatever spectacular exclusive is being worked on, is it a tut?
I believe it's in the tuts line. Yeah. Oh. I believe it's a colorway of the tuts line.
Whichever one will be available to us as an exclusive, you're going to want to pick that up. So that's Eric from Argonaut Resins. And we'll play that voicemail on next week's episode 206. We'll lead off with Eric from Argonaut Resins' voicemail regarding our exclusive.
I just want to go on the record of saying I'm not calling him out. You're calling him out.
And?
I'm just saying. I just want. Oh, by the way,
yeah?
Can we address something real quick?
Okay.
Can we take a quick aside? I'm not Big Kev.
When you email me and
you're like, hey, Kev, I'm not him.
Oh,
when you send me a message on Twitter and you're like, hey, Kev, I'm not him.
Wait, you mean
that's you?
Yes.
I'm me.
Let me.
You're you.
Let me just.
And I'm not.
Let me just try to figure this out.
Okay.
Are they doing this when they email geekstuffog@gmail.com?
Yes.
Okay. Are they doing this when they Twitter Big Kev's Geek Stuff,
no.
Twitter? Only when they do geekstuffog. They go, hey, Kev.
Hey, Kev.
I see.
I'm not Kev. Just put it, and it
this really bothers
all
you.
Of you out there,
uh-huh,
who are like, that asshole's calling me out. No, I'm not calling you out.
No,
I'm calling all of you out.
We're calling you out. You right
just,
now who thinks
you?
It's you, that's who
just
we're calling
you.
It.
All of you. Multiple times over the past 2 weeks. Multiple times.
You know what, OG? I'm going to say this. Go right ahead and keep on calling him Big Kev.
No, I don't want to be Big
Kev. You are addressing me directly. When you email geekstuffog@gmail.com,
no, from now
you
on,
are addressing me directly. And when you Twitter geekstuffog, it comes right to me.
From now on, every email that I get that starts, hey, Kev, I'm deleting. So if it's a contest prize, if it's a question, if it's a...
That's extreme.
If it starts, hey, even if the subject says, hey, Kev, if the only reference to Kev is in the show title, it's okay. I'm just, Delete. Block.
You make
delete.
You know, it's a radio show, and you're making the delete motion with your hand that only I can see.
Because I want you to know how vigorous
wow.
I am. I'm deleting.
OG apparently very upset with you people. I say call him on it. I don't think he'll do it. I say address
you.
Every email. Hey, Kev. Every Twitter. Hey, Kev.
I'm deleting it. Delete, delete, delete.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Sherlock Holmes 2.
Thank God.
December 16th, 2011.
Ah, good.
Robert Downey Jr.
Uh-huh.
Jude Law.
That's only a bit over a year.
2009 it came out.
No, I mean a bit over a year till the
sequel. Oh, until it comes out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A year and 3 months.
That's terrific.
Something like that. An unconfirmed Moriarty.
Brad Pitt.
Right. And now we have the female lead, Noomi Rapace, who was the girl with the dragon tattoo in the foreign film version.
Oh, it's like Dutch or Finnish or
right.
whatever it was.
So there you go.
Whatever. People with wooden shoes made it. I don't know.
But I'm excited about Sherlock Holmes,
yeah,
too.
Me
I'm
too.
Excited about the, you know, not yet cast, not yet named Moriarty.
It's Brad Pitt.
We hope
now,
it's Brad Pitt.
Now we know it's been, I know it's been released out there in the world that Brad Pitt was Moriarty in the first film.
You know, I thought that that was confirmed too, and then I tried to find it, and I couldn't find an actual confirmation.
Right.
But some people still say it was, but he's not credited in the film or on IMDb, so I don't know. It's like a mystery.
He's really good friends with Guy Ritchie, and I think that was I'm sure he was planned on being Moriarty. And they were added late, by the way.
I'd love to see him opposite of Robert Downey Jr. I think it would be a great opportunity.
Me too. Me too.
All right. True Lies.
Uh-huh.
The TV show.
Yeah.
No? Nothing? Not even a little?
You know what? I guess I can see it. It just seems... I mean, I think when the movie came out, what, like 20 years ago?
It feels like that.
I mean, it certainly was a long time ago, whatever it was. Or it feels like a long time ago. The point of what I'm saying is that I think at this point, it's almost so cliched that I think it would be...
95.
95? That's 15 years. I was close. I think it feels almost cliched at this point. Too much so, I think, to be a success in TV. Plus,
I think it would work on TV.
No,
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay. I think the characters worked. I think because it was kind of in the middle of the Schwarzenegger era. And when he was doing, you know, little comedies like Twins. And, you know, there was a little comedy happening
right.
in some of his action parts as well. And yet Jamie Lee Curtis in there, who was still pretty hot in 95.
Right.
Now, apparently, she has problems shitting.
That's
what?
Terrible.
The yogurt commercial.
I've seen the yogurt commercial.
Makes you regular.
She clearly is irregular.
Exactly.
And I'm not talking about her penis.
She doesn't have a penis.
That's what I heard.
Oh, dude. So I think that was a film whose time had come and is now past. And I don't think, I really don't think
I agree. And I would be, I think I would not want to see a remake of the film. Right?
Certainly.
But I think as a TV show it would work. I'm just saying.
You know what would work as a movie remake?
What?
The opposite.
I don't think I know that one.
The opposite, sir. As in, not it being the dude who's the spy, but the wife as the spy and the kind of nondescript husband guy. That would work.
All right.
That would work. That would be really funny. Steve Carell, maybe, as the husband. Although he's done a lot of that silly spy stuff with Get Smart.
Yeah.
Or maybe
I know.
Not Steve Carell. And definitely not. Fucking what's his name, Will Ferrell, but
ooh.
somebody on the meeker end of things.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who a good person would be for that. I can't really think of anyone who would kind of fit the role I'm saying, but there's plenty of those hot young action thangs out there right now.
Hot, huh?
What?
Oh, I'm just saying
girls, sir.
Oh,
girls.
Oh. My bad.
Not guys. I said geeky guy and hot girl.
Sorry, my bad.
I think that would work, actually. I'm wondering now maybe if I should erase this and go write a treatment for that show.
Yeah?
And sell it.
How about we just move on? The Hobbit.
Yeah.
So, since last week's show, we learned a little bit about who Radagast the Brown was.
Yes.
He was a wizard.
Yes, well done.
He was not in The Hobbit. He had a mention in Lord of the Rings.
He was mentioned,
and then he was in Unfinished Tales.
He was mentioned in either Lord of the Rings. This is what I think we found out, is that I think he was mentioned in either or both of The Hobbit or one of the Lord of the Rings books. He has something to do with hunting for the ring after it was lost by Aragorn's relative.
I'm going to say,
yes,
that if you want to know and you want a detailed description of who he is, you should seek out our SiriusXM show.
That's true.
From 9/18/17, whatever that Saturday night was. 18th, I think it is.
18.
And
yeah,
there is a detailed description within the context of
there
that
is.
Show.
There is.
And you can, that's a good way to, you know, bring
that the
is. World
you
together.
Can check out the Big Kev's Geek Stuff SiriusXM experience. Yeah, we did talk about it a lot on that
we
program.
We did.
But just to finish what I was saying, he has something to do with the history of searching for the ring.
Okay.
We found out that Sylvester McCoy was actually one of the actual Doctor Who's in Doctor Who.
Correct.
We don't know which Doctor he was.
Right.
But he was one of them. And he's going to be apparently portraying the character in the film, one of the two films, or both, I guess, of The Hobbit.
Right.
And there was Hobbit news, wasn't there? Didn't they announce this week that James McAvoy would be playing Bilbo Baggins? Isn't that what I read?
No.
I read that right on the paper where I wrote it.
You read that right next to Peter Jackson was confirmed as the director?
Yes. No. I think I read that at the same time, after I wrote it.
But apparently, according to Ian McKellen, production and filming is going to begin in January.
Really?
Of 2011.
I see.
And I'm using him as a trusted source this time around.
Okay.
I think that he lends credibility to the role.
Certainly.
He has a vested interest in the production starting because he said he would leave if it didn't start soon.
Uh-huh.
And if he says it's starting, then I'm thinking it's close to starting.
That's true.
Okay. So that's the news.
Now let's get into this GVM.
We have to address this.
We created the Geek Voicemail service
many moons ago.
System. So that you fans, people who appreciate the program, can interact with the show. Give us ideas, ask us questions, comment on some of the things we're talking about. And it's a little non-traditional. I mean, these days in the age of the interwebs, people want to go and just comment on the web and their blog and all the rest of that stuff. We
right.
want you to be part of this program because this is your program. And so
we encourage everybody to call in.
Absolutely. 425-920-6050. Call right now. And the point is that we get a lot of terrific calls on there. Vivacious people who have interesting comments or have probing questions, and you know, they want about talk about some details about some things, and our fan base is a terrifically geeky, wonderful fan base, which is why we love the GVM so much, because it allows us to include you in our program. However,
that being said,
from time to time,
we get the Jessies from Buffalo.
Right. Well, this is not quite up to the crack addict.
Well, this doesn't involve drug use.
That's true.
Well, it might, actually.
we had a young, unidentified man. He called in five times.
Five separate times.
On different occasions. And we have compiled his questions together.
Right.
And we're going to answer them in the same sort of manner in which he asked them.
Okay.
Okay? So you're going to hear the call,
right?
Our response, the next call, our response, and so on,
et cetera,
five of these calls. Okay? So let's start that now.
What do you guys think of J.J. Abrams' Fringe?
Dawson's Creek meets X-Files.
Love it.
What do you guys think of A Song of Ice and Fire?
Never read it.
A Game of Thrones TV show is based on it.
What do you guys think of Steven Spielberg's Terra Nova?
Not out yet.
Spielberg loves dinosaurs.
What do you guys think of J. Michael Straczynski's Wonder Woman and Superman?
Never read it, but liked Babylon 5.
Not a fan of Straczynski.
What do you guys think of Joss Whedon's Avengers movie?
Should have been Jon Favreau.
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land. take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
So there it is. There it is. A bunch of responses to some GVM. So,
thank you for calling in. Thank you for your awesome voicemail.
I hope,
and I hope you liked our responses.
I hope you appreciated our responses. And of course, when you do call the GVM 425-920-6050, it's okay to take up a little more time to expand your questions and make some points and give us some opinions. And we're just saying it's okay to do that, too.
You know, when you tell these little stories.
And with that, we'll take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Episode 205, Exploring the GVM Element.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Ooh-la-lolly.
Yes, all shows are Saturday night at midnight, uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
What's up? This is Dane Cook from Good Luck Chuck, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You know it. I'll never be,
you. And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 205, Exploring the GVM Element.
It's because I said it like 2 seconds ago that you
What are you talking about? We had a whole break. You heard there was an ID.
Yeah.
A commercial.
Yeah. What commercial was it?
I was peeing.
TBA.
I was peeing. I was eating.
Good. Peeing and eating, were you?
At the same time.
Ew.
Look, Mom, no hands.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
Out on DVD this week.
Yes, and this
which
is...
we feel you may or may not want to check out.
I want to check it out. I'm going to start having to keep a list, I think.
The big...
stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
I am. Big...
The Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
Featuring Kaley Cuoco prior to falling off a horse.
Yeah, broke her leg. Poor Kaley Cuoco.
Was it her leg or was it her ankle?
Her lower
extremity?
No, I think it was her leg. And they had to write her out of an episode because she's in the hospital.
Oh, no. That's no good.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't know. I wonder if they're going to write her busted leg in.
Bust it into the show? I'm sure they'll figure out a way to do it. Well, this is the complete...
You know what? No, can I just say, it's a real shame when a really hot girl hurts herself. That said, she was riding a horse, which is really hot.
There you go.
So, you know why they ride the horses, sir.
Yes.
Just saying.
This is the complete third season, available on regular and Blu-ray.
Right.
And we hear that if you purchase this at Best Buy, your exclusive is a Bazinga t-shirt.
Yeah, I heard that.
I am going tonight.
Bazinga.
Also out on DVD this week, maybe if you're a fan of this show, Glee, the complete first season.
You're gay. Why would you bring up Glee?
Neil Patrick Harris was on an episode.
Also gay.
This season, Barry Boswick and Meatloaf will be on an episode in which they do Rocky Horror.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty funny.
See?
Just the two of them?
Yeah.
They couldn't get anyone else?
Yeah, I guess not. But that's okay. I'm okay with that, though. I'm okay with both of them. Barry Bostwick doesn't do a lot of Rocky stuff.
No, he does not.
And Meatloaf talks about it, but he hasn't. Eddie is a classic character. Could be fun. I'm interested in seeing that.
When is that one airing?
I don't know yet, but we'll find out. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, before it happens.
Rocky Horror, greatest cult movie of all time. Why are you? What, you thinking about it?
Yeah.
You thinking it is, or you thinking?
I don't know that I'd call it the greatest cult movie of all time.
I'll tell you why. Been playing in theaters since 1976.
I won't disagree that it's clearly the most popular, but I don't know that I would say it's the greatest.
Oh, I don't know, sir. I think
first of all, I like Shock Treatment as a movie better than Rocky Horror.
No.
Second of all, I think that Army of Darkness can give it a really good run for greatest cult movie.
Yeah, no, because no one's still going to Army of Darkness
again
week after week. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that it's possible.
Look, sir, with the advent of videotape and DVDs, people could stay home and watch this shit. But people are still going to theaters, still performing.
How about we say this?
Yes.
How about we ask the listeners of the show to give us a call at the hotline.
425-920-6050.
And tell us what you think the greatest cult movie of all time is and why.
And we'll pick a winner.
And we'll give out a prize.
There we go. Nicely done, sir.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Moving on. Prince of Persia. Moving on. Fringe, the complete second season. Out on DVD this week. Also regular and Blu-ray.
Dawson's Creek meets... Oh, I'm sorry.
We're past that.
Sorry. Other bit.
Seven, special edition out on Blu-ray this week.
I'm excited about that. Seven is absolutely one of my favorite movies.
It's an awesome film.
Definitely.
The Black Cauldron 25th Anniversary Edition from Disney.
Now, we don't know whether this is Blu-ray or not, right?
We don't, but I'm thinking it must be.
Because they've been doing that dual packing thing. Yeah.
And also,
I think I'm gonna have to go see Hot Diane at FYE.
Go for it.
She is hot.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm just saying.
I've worked with her.
I mentioned her
back
to you,
in the day.
I mentioned her to you the other day. She's like, I don't know who you're talking about. So
maybe we're talking about a different person.
Maybe, but
I don't think so.
Okay.
And the Pirates of Penzance.
This is the Kevin Kline one.
This is the Kevin Kline, Angela Lansbury.
Right. Not to be confused with the pirate movie,
which was
Christy McNichol. And that guy from Blue Lagoon.
Or with the curly hair.
I just never remember that dude's name. I keep wanting to say Willie Ames, but Willie Ames was in the knockoff movie called Paradise, I think.
Oh, yeah,
With What's-Her-Name, which was an absolute ripoff of the Blue Lagoon. It was Kevin Kline's wife, coincidentally. What was her name? Every Man's Sex Fantasy in the early 80s after Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh,
I can't remember her name.
I remember her name.
But her.
Her.
Yeah.
Also in that movie, Linda Ronstadt, Rex Smith, a couple of others. It's definitely a funny movie.
Oh, definitely absolutely. Definitely should check that one out.
And that's it, DVD-wise.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
All right. So in comics this week, we actually have 2 weeks.
Phoebe Cates,
yes.
Thank you. Sorry. Leftover from the DVD segment.
Yeah. If you remember in episode 204, we had recorded...
Hold on. Phoebe Cates was the girl in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, who was also in the ripoff movie, I think it was called Paradise, ripoff of the Blue Lagoon.
There wasn't a huge gap there. There was like only a stinger.
I know. I just wanted to...
remember.
I just...
Not like the wrap-up.
Wanted to make sure that I got the information out there. I don't want to be accused of just... I don't want to be accused of like hot girl Tourette's.
We're not broadcasting to goldfish. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying. I may be developing something and I don't want it to become, a bad part of this show.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Allison Hannigan. Oh, Jesus. There it goes
there
again.
There it goes again.
Sorry. Right. Go on. What were you saying? Comics?
In episode 204 of Big House Geek Stuff, we recorded before the books came out that week due to the holiday.
That's true.
So now in episode 205, Big Kev's Geeks Off the Podcast,
Da-da-da.
Exploring the GVM element, we have 2 weeks worth of books to discuss.
And what you would think is that this segment would be immensely long and that we would be discussing a lot of books.
But no.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Just a few, really, to check out. I mean, a lot of minutia came out in those 2 weeks, and I'm getting really, really tired of talking about Marvel books the more I talk about them. I will talk about Invaders Now, which is a Marvel limited series, which right away is against my creed, if you will, to be buying a Marvel miniseries. However, when Alex Ross is involved and he's doing the covers and it's the Invaders, which are, you know, some of my favorite characters of all time. I got to pick it up.
All right. I feel you.
So, yes. The story was by Christos Gage, maybe, and Alex Ross. Gage wrote it. The artist inside is Kyle Reese. And the artwork inside is not too bad. I'll be honest, I have not read the story yet, so I can't really tell you if it's great or not. It may be crap. I don't know. But it has Alex Ross involved in it. Covers by Alex Ross, which of course are always, I mean, what a beautiful cover on number one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So check that out. Invaders Now from Marvel. And I wish it was the only Marvel thing we had to talk about. But actually, the other Marvel thing is incredible. So when we get there, it's a little further down the line. From DC, couple from DC to check out this week. Weird War Tales one-shot. Now, this was a one-off, kind of a throwback to the old anthology series, Weird War Tales, where you would get sort of army mixed with supernatural elements to create little vignette stories. Of course, our pal, friend of the show, Darwin Cook, involved with this one, which is why we wanted to check it out. Absolutely terrific cover, a Darwin Cook cover also, which shows kind of soldiers from all different eras, Viking, Normans, Revolutionary, World War II, all sorts of things, and they're all sort of undead and rising. Absolutely terrific. I'm really excited about reading this stuff. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I think that this is it. I think this was just a one-off kind of a throwback thing.
That is kind of sad. But, you know, maybe, who knows, though? Maybe if it was really successful, they'll do another one-off down the line.
Maybe they will. But there it is. It's Weird War Tales number one. Also from DC, a terrific book, which I think is really hitting its stride, which means any moment now they're going to screw it up. It's Doom Patrol number 14. Doom Patrol is the book from way back in the day that Marvel ripped off to create the X-Men. So that said, now, back in the day, they did a lot of trading off in that manner. So it's not like, you know, if they did it today, there'd be lawsuits. Back then, it was kind of, oh, yeah, well, we can do this. Keith Giffen is your writer. He's terrific. Matthew Clark and Ron Randall are doing the pencil work on the inside. I'll be honest with you. Looks pretty good. Looks like good stuff.
All right.
The story's been terrific, and I think it's going to continue to be so. So, yeah, check it out. Doom Patrol 14. Also from DC, but from their Vertigo line, it's American Vampire.
Woohoo!
Yes, Scott Snyder and Raphael Albuquerque
continue to do an awesome, awesome, awesome job on this book. It's been a great read every single issue.
Absolutely. I totally agree. A lot of the premise stuff is really terrific. This is not for kids, not for children. No, this is mature audiences only.
His artwork, Raphael Albuquerque's artwork, is just ridiculously amazing in that book.
Absolutely.
I really, really like it.
Well, it's going to put a little bit of a different spin on the whole vampire notion. But then again, everybody's putting different spins on vampire notions.
They don't sparkle.
They don't sparkle.
So,
but there's things.
Well, there are things.
There's things. So you want to check that out. Has first trade of that come out yet?
No.
Well, that's issue 6, right?
Yes.
Did I mention that?
Probably it's issue soon. 6. I mean, soon, if they're going to do the first 5 issues, then soon. If they're waiting for to wrap up the first full story arc, might be another issue or two.
A couple of trades to check out this week. Dr. Horrible and Other Horrible Stories by Zach Whedon.
Yippee!
Which combines or condenses or collects his Dr. Horrible miniseries, plus a whole bunch of new supplemental material as well.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely terrific stuff. Check that out. I think that's from Dark Horse. It is indeed from Dark Horse. So check that out. Zach Whedon, of course, brother of director Joss Whedon.
Right.
Who directed, what was that show?
I already said it once, this show. You only get it once.
I have a drop, you know. I don't need you to say it anymore.
Fine.
Just saying. I'm going to skip it for now.
Soundboard OG.
But you just, I'm just saying, you just better get in line and dance, boy.
No.
Just saying.
I ain't dancing.
This is actually Marvel We Can Appreciate, and boy, do we ever. This is the sequel to the Eisner Award-winning Wonderful Wizard of Oz. This is the Marvelous Land of Oz, one of the other Frank L. Frank Baum books, as translated by writer Eric Schanauer and artist Scotty Young, doing absolutely the best work of his entire career here.
That's bold.
Uh-huh, and I'm not even exaggerating. This is the hardcover edition, gonna run you about $30, which is well worth it. Terrific story, terrific art, slightly oversized so you can enjoy the artwork even more. I gotta tell you, man, and the third one's already coming. I'm like, you know, like I like superhero stories and vampire and stuff, and I was never kind of an Oz fellow, if you will, because especially with the Judy Garland movie, there's a certain stigma attached to being a fan of that movie.
Oh, is there?
Yes. Friends of Dorothy, you familiar? No. Well, you should be. But the point is that this is really, this L. Frank Baum was a fucking genius, a genius. And the books are actually terrific, and a great comic translation only makes them better, more enjoyable, I say. From Hermes Press, we've talked about these. This is Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, The Complete Newspaper Dailies, Volume 4, 1934 to 1935.
Wow. Right?
The newspaper strips are collected here for those years. You know, it's like we say, sir, a lot of your great science fiction elements that we're still kind of talking about and using today started with this strip, started with this character.
I feel you.
And I mean, this is almost a history book of science fiction illustrated storytelling, sir.
Okay.
Volume 4, check it out from Hermes Press. I want to say it's hermespress.com, but honestly, I really don't know if it is or not. So, in any event, check it out. Oversized hardcover book, volume 4. Really terrific stuff to check out there.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product. You got some, OG?
Yeah, sure. I have a new Tonner piece.
Ooh, Tonner doll company or character figure company, depending on whatever language we're using this week.
Right.
They produce these wonderful, wonderful, fully explored, fully realized, collectible, presentable, displayable character figures from all sorts of different licenses, including many that they've created just on their own.
Yes.
The one we're talking about this week, though, comes from a little Disney you might remember called Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That is correct.
And it is Roger Rabbit. No. Regrettably, it is not Roger Rabbit. It is Jessica, Roger's wife.
Yes. It is Jessica Rabbit in 18 Inches of Glory. Or not. I like her. Okay. I love the face sculpt.
Go ahead, give your bit.
I think that they did a great job again with the details and the clothing and the accessories that come with her. I think the thing that stands out the most to me on this, and maybe once you have a chance to chime in, maybe this isn't the thing that should stand out the most to me, but it's the likeness on the face sculpt. I really think they did a good job on this one.
I agree.
That's my bit.
Now, here's my problem. Jessica Rabbit's line is what? I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Yes.
Ergo, she is purposefully created to be curvaceous, vivacious, and so on and so forth. And I do not think this body works with that image. Yes, the head sculpt is great. Yes, the accessories are great. Terrific, actually. Yes, the dress is perfect. The hair is real. It's a fully displayable figure. It's all the things we've ever said about Tonner except this one thing.
Right.
I really think they needed a hyper-exaggerated body for this toy. This toy needs bigger boobs and bigger hips. Jessica was She was an hourglass, sir. She had a tiny waist, she had presentable hips, and she had big boobs. And I just don't think that this figure successfully, it captures it, yes.
Yes.
Could it have been more successful? Yes, that's what I say. I say it could have been, it's terrific, could have been even better.
Fair enough.
That's my criticism of the piece.
Okay.
But of course, like every Tonner piece, as OG said, accessories, real hair, real clothing, absolutely terrific likeness done on the face, as OG said. You're going to want to stand this up and display it with any Disney collection.
Oh, absolutely.
Any animation type collection, any Tonner collection.
Sure.
This would have a great home in it. And we were debating earlier, I think, were you to go on eBay or some other source and find a plush Roger Rabbit, I'd say in the 6 to 8 inch range.
His ears,
yes,
when standing up,
uh-huh,
should come just above her hips.
Right.
So his head has to be closer to like just above her knees.
So if she's 16 to 18 inches tall, right? Is that what we're guessing?
Yeah,
here?
Let's say 18.
Okay. So he would have to be 9 inches tall from ear to foot, right? In order to match up good? You think that's really 18? More importantly, do you think that's 9?
He'd have to be that tall.
That's got to be like 6 inches.
That's about 6 inches.
Let's say 6 to 8 inches, just to be on the safe side. If you were to find a plush, and I know they made them because they.
Oh, sure.
I know I
had one. I
might
even have one somewhere.
Yeah. If you were able to find one of those and you could display that Roger with this Jessica, you would have a terrific display piece for Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I'm going to throw it out there. I think Tonner should make a Roger the same way they made Dobie from the Harry Potter line.
I don't disagree with you. I just don't see it happening.
I know. I'm just saying.
And it's a shame, too, because it would be perfect.
It would
but
be a
that
nice
said,
companion piece.
Well, look, in the event Tonner's not going to do that, we want to give you the next best thing. The next
Go out and
best
find one.
Thing. Exactly. Get out there, scour the eBay and the
local
shows.
Garage sales,
yes.
Flea markets.
Toy shows also.
Toy shows, that kind of thing.
Yep, and you'll find something that I think works.
I agree.
What a terrific display piece. I'm really envious of the person who gets to keep that one, just saying, not any particular person.
Right.
Let me tell you what else I'm excited about, sir. Brand new Toys R Us exclusive from our friends over at Hasbro Toys. This is Star Wars The Clone Wars, The Rise of Boba Fett Ultimate Battle Packs. Holy cow, is that a lot to say in one word?
It's a lot to shove in one box, is what it is.
Unbelievable. Let's talk about what's in this box. First of all, humongous box, right?
Yes.
I'm going to start off right by saying going to cost you $110.
Wow.
$110. Wow, now, let's justify $110. Let me go right to probably what should be what easily, I'm saying better than half of that price right out of the gate. Ready?
Okay.
Completely new 18-inch Slave One. Slave One, of course, Boba Fett's ship. As seen in every movie containing Boba Fett, and it was Jango's ship before that.
Right.
What you're seeing here is a completely re-sculpted, reimagined, re-envisioned Slave One ship as seen in the Clone Wars.
Right.
When Boba came into the Clone Wars in season 2. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. And decoed, you can see the deco is starting to transform from Jango to Boba. So this is a midship between the Jango Slave One and the Boba Slave One of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the... Well, you don't see it in Jedi, but Empire Strikes Back.
Correct.
Absolutely terrific. It's brand new. It's no longer you kind of pull off that wall and it's just kind of blank inside where you toss the Han and Carbonite blow mold with no figure in it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm going back to 1980.
You're going way back.
Yeah. It's now fully realized. It's decoed. It's got a detention cell to hold your captives. Say you're a bounty hunter.
Right.
And you want to capture a bounty.
Okay.
And you got to put him somewhere. Detention cell.
Okay.
Also has the usual movable parts, firing cannons, turn 360 degrees. It's the usual stuff.
I hear you.
Brand new cockpit. That's terrific. That's better than half the price of this box.
All right.
This is not a little ship. It's 18 inches long.
Oh, I hear you.
Humongous. Humongous. That said, you also get another whole ship.
Nice.
You get Mace Windu's Jedi Starfighter. Now, this is Starfighter as seen in the Clone Wars, which for people who don't watch the Clone Wars, this would be like circa Attack of the Clones.
Right.
Which is still the triangular kind of ship with the cockpit in the rear.
It's almost like a pie wedge.
Like Obi-Wan's ship where he had the circle thing that made him go to hyperspace. Yeah, yeah. Like that. But this is Mace Windu's. It's decked out, decoed out, sir, for Mace Windu.
Right.
It's got all the functions. It splits into two ships, which, of course, we've never seen in the movies or in the TV show, but that's one of the play features that they always try to include in these things. We actually have play features to thank for the new cloud car that came out.
Word.
Because they said, we can't justify putting out a cloud car, but then they packed it full of play features for kids, and they were like, okay, this is good. We can do this. There it is. That's got to be another 30%. We're about 80% covered, I'd say, on the price of this box.
Okay.
Ready? Coup de grace. Here's why you take it home. It comes with, count them, 5 figures.
That's pretty impressive.
5 Attack of the the Clone Wars. 5 of the Clone Wars action figures. Let me tell you who you get.
All right.
You get Mace Windu in his Clone Wars armor.
Right.
A figure that's been released before. Not a new figure.
Right.
Okay. You get Anakin Skywalker, Clone Wars Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
It's the blue and brown costume. Been released before. Not a new figure. Next 3 figures, all exclusive to this box.
Nice.
Never going to be available anywhere but in this box.
All right.
Number 1. R8B7, an astromech droid. He's kind of yellow and blue and gray.
Right.
He is the astromech droid. He is Mace's astromech droid for the starfighter that comes in the box.
Okay.
So the starfighter is ready to go right out of the box. Astromech droid included in the box.
Nice.
Number 2, Bosk.
So now they've introduced Bosk on the show, then?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm behind on the show.
Yes.
So
in the end of season 2, where we saw the rise of Boba Fett, was a couple of episodes there. Bosk has actually training him. I don't think maybe the right word. He is mentoring. Maybe that's not right. Maybe he just feels like
leading
Boba's
him.
Boba's got some chops and he's got a future. Maybe being by this guy might not be a bad idea.
Okay.
You get a Clone Wars Bosk action figure, only going to be available in this box.
Right.
And finally, you get, exclusive to this box, the Clone Wars Boba Fett action figure. So this is still Boba as a young kid.
Right.
A little bit older than Attack of the Clones, slightly. In the blue tunic, but with the red arms and legs.
Right, right, right.
Like the clone... much like the clones jumpsuit we saw in Attack of the Clones, the movie.
I feel you.
With the blue tunic. It's actually a combination of 2 different clone costumes that they've used, which I think is terrific. Also exclusive to this box. So there you go. If that doesn't justify $110, I don't know what does.
All right. I don't think I can disagree with you. I mean, that's a good chunk of stuff for
kind
of price. So,
there it is. It's Star Wars, The Clone Wars, The Rise of Boba Fett Ultimate Battle Packs. All the figures, by the way, come with the unique galactic... What are they calling that thing now? I keep forgetting. The Galactic Battle Game cards, stands, and die. So if you're playing the Galactic Battle Card game, you're set. You're ready to go. You can play with all these figures right out of the box. So there you go. Check it out at starwars.hasbro.com. You can see some great pictures of it. Of course, you can see more pictures of it over at Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And with that, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 205, Exploring the GVM Element.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, this is Yvonne Craig, TV's Batgirl, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 205, exploring the GVM element.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Sherlock Holmes 2 gets the dragon tattoo. Ian McKellen says the Hobbit's finally gonna start. We learned a little bit more about Radagast the Brown. And True Lies is coming to a television set near you.
Maybe.
Sure. We also learned what not to do when leaving us a voicemail.
Well, yes. Well, not no. Maybe what not to do, but maybe you might...
We do appreciate all of your calls.
Of course we do.
And we hope that you're satisfied with your answers.
Yes, and what we hope that you will, maybe in the future, people will listen to these calls and maybe try to put a different accent or spin or interest or something
on their
calls.
You kind of went to Bill Cosby a little bit there.
Jello pudding.
In segment two of tonight's show, we talked about a handful of DVDs that came out this
week. We did. It's a big handful.
The Big Bang Theory, Season 3, Prince of Persia, Fringe, Season 2, 7, Special Edition Blu-ray,
ooh!
The Black Cauldron, available on DVD, 25th Anniversary Edition, and The Pirates of Penzance, all out on DVD this week. Definitely worth checking out.
In comics tonight, we recommended American Vampire, number 6, Doom Patrol, 14, The one-shot Weird War Tales with Darwin Cook. Marvel's Invaders Now, number 1 of the miniseries. In trades, we recommended Dr. Horrible and Other Horrible Stories by Zach Whedon from Dark Horse. From Marvel, it was The Marvelous Land of Oz hardcover by L. Frank Baum, Eric Schanauer, and Scotty Young. Absolutely, absolutely terrific. Please check out the Oz books. And finally, the Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, the Complete Newspaper Dailies, Volume 4, 1934 to 1935 from Hermes Press.
In our product review segment tonight, we talked about Jessica Rabbit, part of the Walt Disney Showcase Collection, put out by Tonerdahl. Awesome piece. Maybe she needs a little bit more in the booby department.
Yeah, that was my criticism.
Just saying.
What I had no criticism but praise for was the Star Wars The Clone Wars Boba Fett Ultimate Battle, Rise of Boba Fett Ultimate Battle Packs. Terrific. Two ships in the box, five figures, three of which are exclusive to the box, a Toys R Us exclusive. Check it out, starwars.hasbro.com for more information on that over there. And with that, we will remind you, of course, to check us out over at the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Check out all the things going on over there. Studio V's, our New York Comic Con information, other stuff as well. Also, check us out at Sirius on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Sirius 197 XM 202, alternating Saturdays, midnight in the east, 9 p.m. in the west. We'd love to have you guys join us for that program over
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. And Twitter. It's GeekStuffOG at
That's
Twitter.com.
Right.
And start off all Twitters, please, with Hey Kev.
I will not read any of those
and
or reply to them. And I will delete all emails that come in that start Hey Kevin. So that means all voicemails, Hey Kevin, I will delete. So if you enter this week's contest,
uh-huh.
I can't do the voicemails because that's both of us.
I don't think you should do that.
I can't do the voicemails. Any email entries, I will delete.
Now, any email entries that come to geekstuffog at gmail.com.
Automatically delete.
Open with Hey Kev.
automatically deleted.
Ooh.
So
don't harsh.
Try to get in a contest entry, to get a question on the show, automatic deletion.
You're angry.
I'm not angry. This will learn them.
Also, become a fan of us on Facebook if you haven't done that already, and that would be nice. We may give out stuff on Facebook that we'll never mention on the show. Dun, dun, dun. Secret contest. Secret contest.
Maybe.
Yeah. Again, New York Comic Con coming up 7, 8, and 9 of October. We're going to be there, booth 428. We got lots of people coming by to spend time with us, sign and sell their wares. And I will end this show as we end all Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.